Call to order the council meeting for May 26th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance.
Flag, United States of America, to the Republic, our nation, God, visible, ever.
Any standing for prayer? We have roll call.
Mr. Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mary Oakland.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I have one change to the agenda, and that is to remove item A under old business.
Second.
You want me to just move on with approving it?
Yeah, I think we can approve that with that change.
Okay. Okay. Been a motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to approve the agenda with the removal of item A under old business.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
And the agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. Next is approval of minutes, and I guess you need to do them for May 11th and May 18th.
Okay, yes, for the, however, under the last meeting, I do have an amendment, so let me get that amendment on there, and that is under the May 11 minutes to add the sentence under new business resolution, or A, new business A, and that is just to add the sentence, council asks that it be submitted as an ordinance. This refers to Resolution 12, 2015, supporting the partnership between Vincennes, Knox County, and KCDC to purchase land. And I'd just like the sentence to be added, council asks that it be submitted as an ordinance. So with no objection to that change, I would move approval for both the May 11 minutes as well as the May 18th public hearing minute.
I'll second the amended minutes.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the May 11th minutes as amended and the May 18th.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Oh, I yes.
Guess that's
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Mr. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Salters.
Yes.
Yes.
Move on to petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to present to the City of Vincennes a certificate of appreciation from the Relay for Life of Knox County. A thank you to the City of Vincennes for being a 2015 silver sponsor. It's a very successful event, and thank the city for its help.
Thank you.
Beyond that, I just would like to thank the organizers of the Spirit of Vincennes Rendezvous for another very successful season. As well as for Memorial Day, all the Boy Scouts and Veterans organizations for their salute to fallen Memorial Day. And certainly can say the people do appreciate the display of flags in our cemeteries.
Anything else? If not, we'll move on to committee chair reports. Seeing none, report of city officers. We'll move on to old business B, ordinance 5-2015 through ordinance 11-2015.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move second reading of ordinance 5-2015 through ordinance 11-2015. However, having said that, I'm going to subsequently call for members to vote against these ordinances, but for the purpose of getting this on the floor, I do make a motion for second reading.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have second reading of ordinances 5, 2015 through 11, 20.
Now, before we go through this, you know, we've obviously had quite a bit of time to look at these procedures, look at what's going through, look at the areas, answer and ask some, well, try to get answers and ask the questions that we need, talk to numerous people amongst some of each other with our department heads to try to figure out this process as a whole. And for me, I kind of tried to write things down to make sure that I could get all my thoughts down so I didn't miss anything. So from sheets of paper, these are the things that I kind of put together. So I thought the best way for me to express where we're at as a council was to kind of write this out and kind of explain it. So without further ado, I'd like to read this. Council members, I have a couple of thoughts that I would like to share with you about the annexation process we have all found ourselves in. I know that you are all frustrated with the way things have proceeded, and I couldn't agree more. From the beginning, this process has been messy. I'm not saying that anything wrong was done, but there are a lot of things that we could have done better. This brings about a major issue that I've had with this process. While the correct procedures were followed, should we just expect the minimum? The answer is obviously no. More information should have been provided, more answers should have been given, and there should have been a greater willingness to go out into these areas that were being considered for annexation. By not doing these things, there was no chance this proposal was going to be successful. While I believe that annexation in some sections of these areas will greatly benefit those residents and those sections and the city, annexation as it was proposed and eventually cut down, I cannot support now. As this process started, we were told many county residents wouldn't see tax increases, other taxing entities wouldn't be heard, and city residents wouldn't see rate increases for city services. This doesn't seem to be the reality now. To make decisions like this, we as a council need a free flow of information. Throughout this process, we haven't gotten that. This leaves us with a lot of questions without any answers. It is our job as a council to look at all the information before us so we can make the best possible decision for our city and for our residents. When we don't have all the information or we have incomplete information, we cannot honestly make the best decision. Promises mean something. Throughout this process, answers were promised to the citizens of Vincennes, the citizens of the county, and the members of this council on May 18th, and that didn't happen. While I know that large areas were cut out of the annexation process, some basic answers still should have been provided. The whole process on the 18th has left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. Trust is a hard thing to regain after it's lost, if it can be regained at all. If I want people to take my ideas and thoughts seriously, then I have to be willing to look at their ideas and thoughts seriously too. I respect the mayor, and I respect his office, and I respect the members of this council, but at this time I cannot support the annexation plan or the one that we even cut down. I thought the cuts would make things better for us as a council and the citizens of the county and the citizens of the city. Instead, it seems to have continued the uncertainty we've grown to despise without gaining the consensus that we thought. I look forward to working with the mayor and this council on different and new ideas in the future. And I'd like to thank you for this time.
Any other comments?
That's a tough act to follow, Tim. Had the opportunity the other day. I opened the Bible that I was sworn in on three and a half years ago. In that Bible, I had written down my oath of office so I wouldn't forget it. The oath of office says to uphold the Constitution of the State of Indiana and the Constitution of the United States. While the annexation process that we have been going through is legal, it is the way set forth by the State of Indiana. Do we need to follow the letter of the law and not also the spirit of the law? To me, the spirit of the law says equal protection, one person, one vote, due process, and I cannot lend myself to this as I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States in equal protection, due process. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I like Councilman Salters, have a statement, and I would, before I read this, I'd like to ask the council's indulgence to waive its normal 3 minute rule, although I will try to stay as close to that as I can.
Minute and a half, Councilman Chatton.
Thank you. I appreciate that. When the annexation ordinances were adopted on first reading on March 9, that indicated that the city council was willing to look at the proposal brought to us by the mayor. It was not, as some have suggested, an indication that the council members had already made up their minds on the subject. It is a fact that the city council adopts almost all ordinances that come before us on first reading because we know that they are not officially adopted until they are subsequently adopted on second and third reading, usually over at least two meetings. To this council's credit, we have listened, we have studied the reports provided to us, and we have remained open-minded and fair to all parties involved. I think it is fair to say that the council members received information at about the same pace as the public received the same information. It is also fair to say that the council, just as some of the public, became frustrated by the pace of receiving full and detailed information about some of the concerns raised by the public. And although this is one of the consequences of conducting business in the public eye, I would have had it no other way. This has been a public process, and it should be a public process. Now, with just over 1 month left to make a decision, it is my judgment that is insufficient time to both receive additional information and share it with the public in a way that allows an open and free exchange of ideas and opinions. Therefore, it is my recommendation that the council defeat all of the annexation ordinances before us so that we can, as a council, decide that should this issue come up again, we will be under the new state law adopted by the last session of the legislature. While that new process is more difficult for cities and requires a longer time frame to achieve, I believe in our case, we need that time to explore the issue more fully and to engage the public more deliberatively so that a greater consensus can be achieved. It is important to keep in mind that when the council adopted on first reading the annexation ordinances in March, the legislature had not yet adopted the new law. So beginning this process then provided us the chance to discuss annexation with the option to do it under either the old law or the new unknown law. Given that recent legislatures have not been supportive of local governments, having that option seemed to be a reasonable goal. Now that we have examined what the legislature has actually adopted, it does not seem as threatening as some of the proposals once discussed there. The bottom line is this: by defeating these ordinances now, the council is making the decision to follow the provisions of the new state annexation law. Doing this is proof that the council does listen, since the opposition has objected as much to the process as they have to the outcome of annexation. To those who are disappointed that the city will not now solve long-standing septic system problems in their neighborhoods, my advice is to contact your county council representatives, since they are charged with the responsibility of your health and well-being outside of our city limits. To the other taxing units, such as the school corporation, library, township, fire department, I can say it was never our intent to threaten the funds you received due to annexation. This has been an eye-opening experience and demonstrates clearly that we must work more cooperatively together as we all move forward. To those outside of the city limits who were vocal in saying that they chose to live outside the city and have no interest in considering becoming part of Vincennes, let me say this: we are in this together. Even if you live outside the city limits, your future is tied in large part to what happens inside Vincennes. In large measure, Vincennes is the economic engine of Knox County, supporting the largest employers in the county, providing the water, sewers, sewage treatment facilities, and other infrastructure that enable our largest employers to operate successfully, not to mention the largest retail base in the county, also dependent on city services. And it is also fair to say that residents inside the city limits are also affected by the quality of life in the neighborhoods just outside the city boundaries. We recognize that most of the new housing stock has been developed in these areas, attracting a growing number of residents who work in Vincennes. If these neighborhoods outside the city limits have problems with septic systems sufficient to hurt the quality of life, even make it difficult to get bank financing to purchase homes there, then that itself is a detriment to the city of Vincennes. For the bottom line is that regardless of where people work, they are choosing where to live. And we are in competition with Princeton, Washington, Jasper, even Terre Haute and Evansville to maintain our population base. So quality of life and neighborhoods are important, regardless of which side of the city boundary you live in. Most of the council agreed to study annexation because we were both aware of septic system problems that the city could help solve. At the same time, the city was looking for ways to diversify our income stream as we continue to grapple with the impact of property tax caps and the growing size of our nonprofit sector. Annexation is just one of the many ideas we have explored, and to have not studied it would, in my opinion, have been irresponsible. For that reason, I thank the mayor for proposing annexation as one of the ideas for the council to explore. I want to thank the city council members for considering the proposal, seeking to make the proposal more viable, and failing to achieve that, for reaching the decision to move forward by defeating the annexation proposal for now. And choosing, should this come up again, to come in under the new state law with all its additional levels of protection for those concerned. As a council, you have listened, you have deliberated, and you have made a decision in the best interest of the public, and that is what city government is supposed to do. I thank you for your dedication. Finally, I have never been more confident in this community. There are positive developments in virtually every sector of this community. These developments provide tremendous momentum to continue to move forward, provided that we all look out for the greater good of the community. That is what I know this council is committed to, and what I am calling on all citizens to renew their commitment to. If we do that, then this community will be strong and growing stronger as we move forward.
No. Mine's not that low, Chuck. In the beginning of this process, I felt that the annexation plan was doable, and I could support it because I believe the city does need additional revenue as our tax base has been diminished in recent years. I have received many emails, phone calls, letters, and so many person-to-person conversations. Most of them against annexation. In my conversation with so many of them, I asked that they put some trust in the city council to make the right decision. After listening to what the people involved had to say and their feelings about forced annexation, I have come to the conclusion that I cannot support this action at this time. Our citizens are concerned about several major things: increase in taxes, sewer hookup, police and fire protection, road repair, snow removal, animals, water hookup. What have I learned from this experience? I've come to realize that in issues like this, that not only those people being annexed, but also the residents of our city should be involved in the making of decisions that will affect their future and well-being. Further, I feel that this whole process has been mishandled, as we were not prepared, not informed in advance, and could not properly prepare for beginning the discussions.
I do not have anything prepared, but I do just want to kind of emphasize what was in part of Mr. Chatton's talk, and that is, as a city council, and as citizens of Vincennes, we've gone to Mayor Yoakum and we said, we got to generate revenue, we need money. And he has gone out, he has worked hard, and I have, and Mayor Yoakum knows this, I have not been for annexation since the very beginning, but I had an open mind, and I was going to go in and learn and find out what we needed to do. But I have, even though I've been opposed, I have been appreciative that he has listened, and then he has moved forward trying to do what we asked of him, which is to generate revenue. So I don't want that to be overlooked. I'm appreciative of what Mayor Yocum has done.
I'm kind of like Ryan here. I didn't have anything prepared, but I think everybody has hit so many important highlights from this experience. I think that, you know, Mayor has went out and he has tried to find a revenue for us to better Vincennes. That's very important. As Dwayne said, it would be irresponsible for us to not look at ways to grow the city. As, you know, I have a young child, you know, we want this city to grow. We all do. And this might not be our, this isn't our path, you know, so, and that's fine. We need to continue searching together as, you know, we move forward for something that can help this city. And we have learned a lot of important lessons, and Shirley's very right. We need to include the city and the county in anything like this in the future, if this was ever brought up again, which I won't even go there at this point. But, you know, we can only take what we've learned and move forward with it. And I hope that everybody in the county and in the city realize that we've tried to come in with open minds, and we've tried to look at this, and they can appreciate the fact that we were kind of with you. We didn't have the information that we wanted to have, but you know, we're just working through this, and we hope that in the future we can take something good from this and move forward. So that's all I got.
I don't have anything written down either, and when we had initially looked at this, I was really skeptical of why we were doing it, saying that we were doing this to raise money. To me, it's been all about being able to provide a service to people that are currently not receiving that service. And I'm still a little confused how some people are receiving some of the services that they're getting when they're not in the city. That to me, it's I'm a little troubled with that, but that's here nor there. As we went through the process, I began to understand it a little bit better and started to really realize that there are some serious health and environmental issues out there with people running raw sewage into ditches, and that's kind of troublesome. There's people that are pumping water out of their garage door down their driveway, and I'm not talking people that are living out in the middle of, you know, 15 miles from here down by the White River on the river. I'm talking about people that are living in some of these neighborhoods that we looked at. All of those neighborhoods that were proposed, all seven areas, throughout the course of my 12 years on here, I've heard from a number of people in those areas that said, you need to consider annexation. We have huge issues. That was compounded when this issue was brought up. And I understand why the mayor did put seven areas out there, because I've heard from people in Fort Knox that have huge issues. People in Fox Ridge that have huge issues. People in the Ridgeview subdivision that have huge issues. And a lot of the others. I've talked to people in all of them, and they have major issues. And they do need to be addressed just for health issues more than anything. I'm considering going into the outhouse business right now, if that's how people want to live, and in certain cases, they're not much beyond that, because like I said, you have raw sewage going out in areas that shouldn't. You've got people that are landlocked. You've got people with that are restricted on their ability to expand or put in new septic systems. There's some big issues out there. I think one of the things that, you know, hindsight's 2020, but going back, if we just could have gotten that, the area within the people that are real close to Vincennes, some areas were a little bit further away than other areas that we maybe should have not tackled right now. But we didn't realize this going into it. When you start getting into this issue, you start seeing that this is a single issue over here in terms of the revenue. This is an issue over the city's revenue. This is an issue over here with the areas that aren't wanting to give up their revenue, the schools, and other areas. They nobody wants to give up revenue right now. Well, nobody ever wants to give up revenue. So it's not a matter of now. It's just that's the way it is. So it's and then you've got the area of people kept wanting numbers, and I looked at in an American Planning Association article about annexation, and they said the most difficult thing to do in annexation is to project cost because of it's just an ever-changing, like a motor. It just everything keeps changing, and this definitely changed a lot. But like I said, as the process, I warmed up to the process after initially being pretty much against it, and there's a huge need for it out there. It's just and there's people that want it. Unfortunately, they didn't step forward, and they got muted by some people that know how to act and some people that don't know how to act in public. I feel sorry for the way some of those people acted at that public hearing. I wouldn't treat them like that if I was opposing an issue that they had. You've got to be respectful, but unfortunately some people can't do that. But anyway, will this issue come up again? Who knows? There's going to be some people that are going to have to face some major issues. It's a county issue. Hey, we're taking care of the people in the city with our sewer and water. You know, when I go home tonight and I flush my toilet, I know where it's going. I know it's not going down in the neighbor's ditch. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that more now than ever. Water and sewer. To me, Mr. Bushy, this has just been nothing but an appreciation of the service that your organization does. So I could go on and on and on about this because to me, it's a huge monster issue. Like everybody's alluded to, maybe we can address it under the new laws, and we'll go from there. Thanks for your time.
Okay, any other discussion? As soon as you vote, pick a vote, then I'll have a comment.
Okay. Call for the question, then.
Mr. Brown.
No.
The motion was to read and approve.
Okay, yes.
Well, no, the motion was to read and approve, but in my motion, I stated that I was going to ask for disapproval. So a no vote is to defeat. A yes vote is to approve it on second reading.
That's what confused
me.
You
want
to kill it,
you
just don't never call it up.
Well.
There would never be a second.
Okay. Okay, but no, and probably the way that was stated, I can understand that, but it was a motion to approve because we don't have negative motions and asking the members to vote no. So
how do you want me to vote?
So a no vote, a no vote is to defeat the ordinance.
No vote. No, get the cue cards out.
Or would it be better that they just change their motion to remove it from the agenda and do it properly?
Well, we already have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. If you vote no, it defeats the ordinance. So, I mean, it's pretty clear, I think, in my mind.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
So is it no or yes?
It was a no.
No is the vote. Yes, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Mr. Chapman?
No.
Mr. Clark?
No.
Ms. Morris?
No.
Ms. Rose?
No.
Mr. Salters?
No.
Mr. Sebring?
No.
Okay, ordinances 5, 2015 through 11, 2015 are voted down. by a vote of 7-0, or 0-7, however you want to say it. Now then, I have a comment. Back whenever I first started as mayor, several of you asked me to look at annexation, mm-hmm. as I did. I am sorry that I didn't get figures as quick as you wanted them, but also these ordinances changed through this process. So the last change, there was, I know they're not done with the figures. There wasn't any sense in giving you figures on the first process because you were going to change it. So, but again, I presented you with annexation, as I said in the beginning. This may, you may annex all this, you may not annex any of it, but it was up to you to do your homework and come up with a decision. And I applaud you that you come up with your decision and we can move on. So was there any point in going through the next two?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I would move that we remove from the agenda the amended ordinances. This is item C, amended ordinances 5, 7, 10, 11, 2015. And while we're at it, go ahead and remove from the agenda item D, amended resolutions 3, 5, 8, and 9, 2015.
Second.
Been a motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to remove the amended ordinances as read and resolutions.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
It's a vote to remove, right?
Remove from the agenda.
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
And those ordinances and resolutions are removed by a vote of 7-0. Move on to new business. First up is sewer bond refinancing ordinance amendment. Kirk Bush, you the utilities.
Okay, Mr. Mayor,
and
move.
I think it's ordinance 16-2015.
It is. It, on your ordinance itself, it says ordinance 16-2015. It just wasn't on the listed on the agenda page. But I would move we have first reading of ordinance 16-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose to read amended ordinance 16-2015.
Amended ordinance number 16-2013, actually. Ordinance okay. Amending and supplementing amended ordinance number 16-2013.
Amended
16-2013. Refund certain outstanding bonds, omitting formal parts of section 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is a technical amendment that supplies by.
You're up.
Okay. Council Rolligan just said, this is a technical amendment to an ordinance that you all approved, I believe, back on February 23rd of this council. And basically what this, as you know, we are refinancing the existing sewer department debt that currently is around $15 million. Two reasons we're doing that. One is we can recognize a substantially lower interest rate for the remaining 9 years of the term of that debt, and we'll be reducing our interest rate from 3.3% to 2.14% for the remaining 9 years. As part of that refinancing, and we thought we had everything covered in the ordinance that we brought to you back in February. However, an additional change needed to be made to this ordinance to allow for some specific language that has been requested by the debt service reserve surety policy company. And what that means in a nutshell is when we do these bonds, we have three options. We could set aside cash of about $1.5 million in an account that's called the debt service reserve account. And that money is set aside and is used in case we would ever have trouble not being able to make a payment. That money is there. A second option would be to include that amount in the borrowing. And we didn't want to do that because that just increases your overall interest costs and takes us longer to pay off the debt. The third option, which we weren't sure would be available to us in this particular case, but we found out later that it is to obtain a surety policy, an insurance policy, basically, that provides that coverage for the bondholder in the case of a potential default or whatever. So, and that amount is only $29,910. So from a cash flow standpoint and for our customers, it's better to pay the $29,910 up front than to set aside $1.5 million over the course of the next 9 years. And what the amended ordinance does is takes into account specific language that surety company has requested. I'm told by both Mr. Rolligan and Ms. Beasley, who's here from Bingham, that is our financial advisor, or is our legal advisor on this bond issue, that it's not a significant change to the financing, but it does create a positive cash flow for us. And at the end of the day, we're going to save about $300,000 on a net present value basis over the course of the 9-year period that we would have paid in interest otherwise. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know Sue's here if you have specific legal questions about it, but that's basically it in a nutshell. And we're attempting to get this closed. The 2.14% rate is good through June the 3rd. So every time we've talked about this, I've asked Crow and Bingham if there was anything else we need to do with the council. And the answer has always been no. We've got everything approved back in February. But this opportunity arose just this past week to get this surety policy, but to get the policy, we have to have the language that the company that's giving us the policy will approve, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Any questions for
Kurt? As usual, it sounds like you've taken care of getting the rates lower. Because I know we did this once before, didn't we? We got the rates down.
This is probably the same one we've talked about, but okay. I don't think we envisioned getting down to almost 2%. I think this is absolutely on the best end of what we were looking at.
Sure. Call for the question.
Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
That passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we have a second reading of amended Ordinance 16-2013.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring, to have second reading of amended Ordinance 16-2013.
Amended Ordinance Number 16-2013, an ordinance amending and supplementing amended Ordinance Number 16-2013 for issuance of revenue bonds to refund certain outstanding bonds, Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And second reading of the amended Ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we suspend the rules to allow for third reading.
Second.
Go ahead, Clark.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Clark, to suspend the rules and have third reading.
Call for the question on the motion for third reading. Or to suspend the rules, I'm sorry.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay. You can proceed with your...
Well, I mean, third reading. So I make a motion we have third reading.
I was going to say
third reading. Okay.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Brown, to have third and final reading of amended ordinance 16-2013.
Amended ordinance number 16-2013, you've heard this before, so omitting almost everything, sections 1, 2, 4.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of amended ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you, and I assure you this is a good move for our customers.
Thank you.
Citizens. Thanks.
Thanks, Clark. Next is ordinance 18-2015, additional appropriation from edit fund for $250,000.
Mayor, I move we have first reading of ordinance 18-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 18-2015.
Ordinance 18-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2, $250,000 from edit.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, as council will recall, this is the substance of this is what we passed at the last meeting by resolution, putting the council as in favor of this, but we did ask that, because it does involve funding, that we come back as an ordinance with this same substance. So this, the substance is that this is $250,000 being spent from our edit fund in partnership with the county and Knox County Development Corporation in order to purchase 50 acres to add to the industrial park.
Any other discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. First, I want to say that I believe and support in the work that the KCDC does. And I do want people to be able to obtain good jobs. But I also believe this is not the right time for the city to give additional money, and I will vote no on this additional contribution from the city. This year, we have already given to KCDC $248,000. And now KCDC is asking for an additional $250,000, so $500,000 in total. The City Council and Mayor have been and will continue to look for ways to increase our revenue. For example, last year we passed a 0.15 edit tax that will create about $456,000 in revenue for our city. This money will go a long way in helping our city. The county will receive from this same tax $602,000 of new money, which at the time this tax was passed, the county council was not in favor of this tax. Luckily, the president of the city council worked together with the city of Bicknell and was able to get their vote, which was needed in order to pass this tax. Given that the county has indicated it doesn't need the $602,000 additional money, I think it would be nice or considerate if the county, not the city, would step up and consider paying the whole $500,000 to KCDC. I am sure the taxpayers in that sense would really appreciate the county's generosity and teamwork so the city can get its streets and sidewalks and curbs in better shape for our residents and look at new equipment for our city departments.
One correction real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You've only given KCDC $198,000 so far this year. We give them $150,000 plus the $48,000. So I think you reported $245,000 or.
But we don't, we have to pay that before the end of the year.
No, we only give them $198,000 total every year.
Is that right, Mr. Clark?
We're scheduled to give $150,000 for what we consider the interlocal agreement And then we are also scheduled to give $48,000 for administrative purposes, so that would be $198,000. And then the $250,000 would be $448,000. But what occasionally happens, and I don't know if it happened this year or not, sometimes that payment, that third payment, gets thrown in a fiscal year, even though the next year it might just be one payment. So that possibly could have happened this year. I'm not sure.
It didn't. Have we not paid $150,000, $48,000 this year total?
That's what I think they've received.
Right.
$24,000. I think they normally pay one half.
Right.
$24,000, an additional $24,000. So the administrative side of it is $48,000. It covers $150,000. So the run rate's been $198,000.
I still stick by my comments.
One moment, though. Mr. Mayor, one thing I wanted to get in the public record is we did have a public hearing on this issue at 5:45, and one person spoke against. So, be in the record. Now,
thank you.
I certainly appreciate all the collaborative effort of the City Council by all means, and appreciate your comments as well. Surely, I guess I'll speak a little bit from the heart here, because I had a 26-year position with Regions Bank, and a big part of reason what taking this position was what I saw the future of Knox County to be, and some of the momentum that we've had. And I guess I'll reminisce a little bit more. My daughter just graduated high school this last week, and she's going to Vincennes University and wants to. And when she was at church talking about what she wanted to do, she said. And I didn't tell her to say this, but she said she wanted to come back to Knox County, you know, after she finishes her degree and be a productive citizen. And I think that's what it's all about. And when you look at what KCDC has been able to do over multiple years since the early 80s, is that we've increased our wages. We're at 106% per capita income now. We're above the state average. And the run rate, if you look at it between COA and EDIT, we're, since 2011, we're bringing in an additional almost $1 million. So wages is what's factored into the increases that our budget. So if we look at ways to increase the revenue, if you will, for municipalities, it comes from wage creation. And the industrial park, albeit in the county, represents 9.1% of the workforce, or $67.2 million a year. And if you look at what's happened recently with Farbest, and you can tack on what's happened, obviously, with Pioneer, with the 45 jobs that they have and 200 administrative positions. We courted them. We helped with that administratively, bringing them over. And I think we're going to see more announcements with that next week with what's going on with Pioneer. So I think without the wages, and that's what the real key is, and if you look at companies or communities that have been really successful in economic development, they've always went and a collaborative effort and been hand in hand when it comes to economic development. And I know that Raleigh-Helmling shared an example of GE moving into Lafayette, and he said the deal breaker with that, because they narrowed it down, they vetted through the opportunities in several communities, and the deal breaker with that was they all sat around the table and agreed as a cohesive unit that said this is important for economic development. So I appreciate all that you guys have given and continue to give for economic development for Knox County and Vincennes.
Any other discussion?
I'm in favor of this, and I think it's important to be good partners. One thing I want noted is we're 50-50 here. We're given the same amount as a county, but we're not going to be benefiting as much, because that property is actually outside the city limits. So it seems as though we're participating 50-50, but it's not quite as equal as that. So I'm in favor of it, but I just want that noted.
And that's one of the, obviously there are some concerns about like the way the partnership's set up, but I mean that's one of the things that we could address. We could have you come in during budget, our budgeting for the year, and things that we can discuss then to plan for the years ahead. I mean, that's things that we would discuss as we're going through things. So I mean, if that's a process that we would like to go to, I mean, we could do it that way as well, discuss some of those partnerships.
Well, I also support this ordinance, and one of the reasons is that you know, we've all talked for a long time about both cutting expenses and diversifying revenue, and particularly with annexation being removed from the table by action tonight, really one of the few games in town in terms of building revenue is the income tax. And so we are relying on Kent and his excellent board and to work hard to get more jobs and, as he mentioned, to increase the wages, not just to draw more jobs, but the wage base is going up, and that will benefit the city as well as all the taxing units in the county. So because we're even more dependent upon that now for our future, I think we should support them.
I think it's because we're dependent on that I have some concern about this. You know, we just seem to have shored up the damage or forecasted damage in the coming years with the loss of revenue, and $250,000 was the tune we were going to get in the black, and now somebody wants it. But I will say this. Any investment, and I'm sure if there's a banker in the audience, he'll probably agree with me, any investment is a gamble. You're going to bet on whether it goes up or whether it goes down. And right now, KCDC has gone up, up, up. So if I'm going to bet on something, I'm going to bet on KCDC. So.
And if I can weigh in, I do support this. We have had meetings with county officials, and this is kind of what was worked out. KCDC is even going to pay a third. Originally, this was looked at $375,000. So I think this is going to be money well invested in the future of Knox County, but also Vincennes.
We it is an edit tax, and I honestly understand where a lot of the rest of the council's coming from. It just really, I know it's disturbing that when we passed this, we were criticized, like Mr. Hall said in his public hearing, we were criticized for this, but this is why we did this, so we could do things like this. I mean, I'm firmly convinced, and then, like I said, I agree with Shirley's comments very much, but if there are prospects out there right now looking for property to put their places, and we have to have available property, or we might as well shut KCDC's doors right now and say we're not in the business, and we don't want to do that. But like I said, it's I understand where the rest of the council's coming from on some of their remarks, and it's like I said, I agree wholeheartedly with what Shirley says. It's there's some things that just shouldn't have been said about edit dollars recently, so that's the extent of my comments. Thanks.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
No.
Mr. Salter?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And first reading of Ordinance 18-2015 passes by a vote of 6-1. Move on to Ordinance 19-2015, additional appropriation from Edit Fund for $64,000.
All right, move we have first reading of Ordinance 19-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to have first reading of Ordinance 19-2015.
Ordinance 19-2015, additional appropriation ordinance, meaning section 1 and 2, omitted $64,000. Extra prize for he or she who falls to $4,000.
Discussion? Just for your information, this is the dollars, the match for the blight elimination program. I think we received around $640,000 in grant dollars, and this is our match. And as soon as this is approved and the money gets in the account, then I think Phil can start taking down some of these homes.
Good.
Thought Phil was here. Correct?
Here he is.
Once we approve this match, you'll be able to start tearing down the blighted homes?
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 19-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 20-2015, additional appropriation from edit fund for $9,878.85.
Mr. Mayor, we have a first reading of ordinance 20-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to have first reading of ordinance 20-2015.
Ordinance 20-2015, additional appropriation ordinance from edit 1 and 2, $9,878.
Discussion.
What is this for again?
If you look on your ordinance, $716.25 is for SME, which is the Brownfield grant, which we get 100% of that back. The $9,162.60 is for the second NIBLAC project, of which we will get 80% back.
Okay. Just wondering.
Any other discussion?
Hearing none. Question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 20-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is claims.
Right, move we approve claims totaling $357,242.07.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Sebring to pay the claims in the amount of $357,242.07.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. You have nothing under miscellaneous, so we just need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.